What is a top priority for this year's UN climate talks? And did Brazil just change its position on Amazon deforestation? Welcome to the Climate Recap from the Becosphere Climate Corner, your go-to place for international and US-based climate news. I'm Becky Hogue, a science writer. Today is Friday, May 27th. Let's jump right into the news you need to start your day. Let's start with some climate events. Jacobabad, Pakistan just hit 123.8 degrees Fahrenheit, or 51 degrees Celsius, as the heat in India and Pakistan continues. That's a new record. The heat wave began in March and is expected to continue until August. A doctor in Jacobabad estimates that 50 to 60 people are getting heat stroke a day, which is overwhelming the area's health services. The heat is devastating the Indian and Pakistani mango industry, with mango production in Pakistan expected to drop by 50% this year due to the heat and water shortages. India is the 8th largest mango exporter, while Pakistan is the 10th largest. Over in France, the unusually warm weather is warming waters used to cool nuclear plants. 4 plants are at risk of going offline because of this, which adds up to about 11.6 gigawatts of power. There's also a rule that states that when the weather is particularly hot, nuclear plants can't take water because it might add extra stress on the local wildlife. Most rivers are about 26 to 30 degrees Celsius right now. Meanwhile, New Zealand's biggest king salmon farmer, which supplies 85% of global Chinook salmon demand, reported a 42% mass die-off due to warming waters. Fish are dying off before they can even hit maturity. As a result, the fishery has had to shut down some of its farms this year. It's time for some climate victories. Ahead of the next United Nations Climate Conference, COP27, in November, the host country, Egypt, said climate finance will be a top priority this year. In the 2015 Paris Climate Accords, wealthy countries promised to provide $100 billion in funding to emerging economies to help them transition to clean energy. This makes sense because wealthy countries developed via fossil fuels because they were cheap. So if rich countries are going to ask developing countries to develop in a different way, they need to help provide the capital to make that a viable option. But it's been 7 years since wealthy countries made that promise, and they still have not followed through. Many developing countries are currently in debt to wealthier countries too. Egypt plans to hold wealthier countries accountable and add loss and damage funds to the list. Over to Asia, Vietnam is about to get its first green hydrogen plant. Green hydrogen is hydrogen that's made from renewable energy rather than as a byproduct of fossil fuel operations. The company TGS Green Hydrogen invested $840 million in the project, which is expected to start construction in the beginning of 2023. It will initially produce 24,000 tons of green hydrogen, 150,000 tons of ammonia, and 195,000 tons of oxygen a year. These numbers will eventually double, according to the government. Vietnam wants to nearly double its power capacity by 2030, prioritizing clean energy and reducing its reliance on coal. Now let's talk about some things happening in Europe, specifically in the United Kingdom. I think the UK has finally figured out how they want to implement a windfall tax on energy companies. This has been an ongoing discussion since Russia's invasion of Ukraine began, because fossil fuel companies have made record profits off the war while keeping gas prices high. A windfall tax is a tax given to companies that make an excess profit. For a while, the government was just threatening to implement this, telling fossil fuel companies to invest in clean energy projects to avoid being taxed. But the UK has finally decided to hit them with one anyways. The money created by the windfall tax will be used to give all households a £200 discount on energy bills. There will also be more targeted action to help lower income households cope with rising prices, potentially giving them up to £500. People are likely to see this money in the fall. Meanwhile, the UK Environment Agency fined 33 companies for failing to properly report emissions to the various emissions reduction schemes. Power plants and utility companies were among those fined for underreporting or failing to report emissions to the EU Emissions Trading System. brewery, and automobile companies were among those fined for failing to provide emissions reports to the Voluntary Climate Change Agreement scheme. And insurance and machine manufacturing companies were fined for failing to complete energy use audits and identify cost-effective energy-saving efforts for the Energy Savings Opportunity Scheme. The fines add up to over £27 million. Over to the Americas, Brazil's president announced he will immediately hike environmental fines for falsifying documents that cover up illegal logging, bring heavier consequences for repeat environmental offenders, and reduce the backlog of fines pending collection. The decree also undoes the ability for offending individuals and corporations to have a reconciliation hearing to reduce or cancel fines, something Bolsonaro put in place himself after taking office in 2019. This is one of the first efforts the Bolsonaro administration has made to actually protect the environment and head towards his commitment to halt deforestation by 2028, a promise he made during COP26 last November. Up to this point, his administration was responsible for racking up new deforestation records one after another and promoting a dangerous environment for environmental defenders. So this change in policy could be a good sign that things are changing. But me being skeptical of this administration wonders if Bolsonaro is just trying to make himself look good ahead of Brazil's presidential election in October. In the US, the Securities and Exchange Commission released draft rules Wednesday to add more requirements and transparency to environmental, social, and governance, or ESG, funds. One of its rules would boost fund disclosure requirements to make them more easily understood and comparable to other funds. It would also require some funds to report how much emissions their funds' investments make. Another rule would ensure fund investments match what the fund is called to reduce greenwashing. These rules could have a big impact, especially since the number of people interested in putting their money to good use is on the rise. Let's finish off today talking about some unsurprising news. Exxon's annual shareholder meeting finished with mixed results, despite climate activists from Engine No. 1 gaining 3 seats on the company's board last year. The shareholders still voted to maintain business as usual, with only 28% voting to accelerate Exxon's decarbonization efforts as proposed by the Dutch group Follow This. However, shareholders did vote to have the company provide better climate data analysis to assess the financial impacts of transitioning to net zero emissions. Shareholders of other top fossil fuel companies like Shell, Total Energies, and Chevron voted to maintain business as usual in their meetings that were also this week. And that was your climate news for Friday, May 27th. If you like the work I do, please follow this podcast, give it a 5-star rating, leave a review, and consider checking out the Becosphere Climate Corner YouTube channel. Remember to talk about the climate crisis every single day and to support your local news organizations. Bye for now.